Hello, and welcome to Ask the Vet. My name is Beth Broom, and I'm going to be your host this afternoon. And I am sitting here with Melissa, Dr. Melissa Gislason. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thanks. So just wanted to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. So if you have any animal-related questions, please feel free to give us a call here at 963-2976 and ask Dr. Gislason any questions you have. Today's topic, and they don't have to be related to today's topic, by the way, but we are going to be talking about pain with animals, mostly chronic pain, but just pain in general. I wanted to ask you, Dr. Gislason, what is pain? You know, first of all, how often do you feel like you're seeing animals in chronic pain?
I would say every day.
Every day.
Every day I work.
Chronic pain. And how often do you feel like the owner of those pets is aware that their pet is in chronic pain?
Most of the time. I mean, I always think that sometimes, not always, but a lot of times there's maybe a little bit more that we can do for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because veterinary medicine's advancing every day. And we have a lot more options out there than we used to.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about those options today. Now, do you feel like this is something that affects all species, like cats and dogs?
Definitely.
And large animals as well, which I know isn't your specialty,
so.
But okay. We'll skip the large animals for today.
I know lameness in horses is a huge thing. So
yes.
It is something that is a forefront in the equine field for sure.
Right. So definitely chronic pain all across the board. What does pain look like? Because I think we often hear people say, well, I don't think he's in any pain. He doesn't act like he's in pain. What's that look like?
It can look very different for every animal. Cats in particular are so good at hiding when they're in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs are pretty good at it, but they have some more tells. Typically, though, we'll see that patients aren't as active as they once were. Maybe they're sleeping more during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they tend to be just a little bit more removed from the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they were really active and they wanted to go outside and play a lot more, sometimes they're more apt to, you know, stay taking a nap and not necessarily get up and go for those outdoor activities.
Right. So, and then what are some of the more obvious signs?
More obvious signs are going to be things like having a hard time laying down or getting up after a nap or after sleeping, a physical lameness if they're not using a leg.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do have a lot of clients that come in and say, well, they're just limping, but I don't think they're painful.
Yeah, I think that's a tough one for people to understand because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think people anticipate some type of vocalization.
Yeah.
Or something more overt than just, because a lot of times I feel like a dog will be limping, but still go on. They'll still run. They'll try to chase the ball. So it seems to people that it's not an issue.
Yeah, they're a dog. They're an animal. They're not going to necessarily, unless they're in excruciating pain,
right?
They're not necessarily going to let it inhibit their lifestyle. They're still going to eat. They're still going to want to play fetch.
Mm-hmm.
It may make the limp worse.
Mm-hmm.
But limping is definitely a sign that there's pain.
Yeah. Limping is not normal.
No.
Not normal.
I mean, unless for some very strange reason they have a neurologic problem and there's actually loss of function.
Right.
But most of the time, 99% of the time, limping is pain.
Right. Gotcha. And then, you know, slow to get up or down, reserve to jump in or out of a vehicle, on the couch, yep. Things like that.
Exactly. Especially cats.
Yeah.
That's one of the big things. One of the big things for cats is, you know, if they used to be a counter surfer, if they used to jump up on a counter for their food,
mm-hmm.
and they really are reluctant to do that,
mm-hmm.
They don't want to get up to those safe high places like they normally do, like a cat tree or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're so prone to getting things like arthritis along their back that's one of those big reasons that they don't want to jump.
Yeah. And just to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. Call us, ask questions to Dr. Gislason, animal-related questions. The number here is 963-2976. So, what are some of the reasons for chronic pain? What are some of the underlying problems that you're seeing in animals?
The by far the most common one is going to be arthritis, some type of degenerative joint disease.
Mm-hmm.
Other things can be chronic soft tissue injuries like a tendonitis. In humans, you think of like a tennis elbow.
Oh, look, we have a caller. Okay. Hello, thanks for calling. What's your question?
Oh, hi. I had a question. I have two dogs in my home. One's about 7 and one is 3.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the 7-year-old for about 5 years. She was a rescue, and the 3-year-old dog is a res dog. And they've always gotten along day one. And about 6 months ago, they were playing like they always do, and the older dog got her jaw stuck in the little one's collar, and
they
basically just freaked out and
yeah.
got into a fight. You know, I think she was trying to get her jaw out, and
yeah.
So it became violent very quickly, and there was some injuries and things like that. We were able to separate them, but the tension was really high for a while. They would get in scraps and, you know, fights that we would have to break up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the younger dog doesn't seem to be super aggressive, but my older dog now is being very aggressive, not just toward my other dog. And, you know, it's getting better and better, but she did go ahead and just, like, I mean, out of nowhere, attack another dog on the trail a month ago. And, I mean, it just came out of nowhere. So I am watching them closely, and I see them try to like almost do like a little power
struggle. Yeah.
In the home. Yeah. So I didn't know, you know, I watched them super closely.
Yeah.
They are crated in the daytime together, and they seem to be just fine. And
good.
They don't have food aggression, but I can't quite determine what the trigger is. They'll be playing and then something happens. Like, you know, I've noticed that it would be like if me or my son have like a plate of food or something. You know, snap. So I don't know if you had any like dog behavioral.
There can be, I mean, definitely after such a traumatic event like that, I mean, there's definitely going to be some behavior modification that we need to work on afterwards. Myself, I had an other dog, aggressive dog at my house, and we kind of worked on ways to make that better. Some of that is actually anxiety medication can be an option. And the main reason I say that is because a lot of times when they have this kind of unresolved fear, they don't really know where that's coming from, it's hard for them to learn how to get past it. And the anxiety medication isn't there to sedate them. It isn't there to do anything like that, but it's there to help them learn that the situation's okay.
Yeah, and when tensions are running high after an event like that, it's like they can't really ever relax. There's always that underlying concern that something's going to happen. And if there is a power struggle or there feels to be one, it's another way to bring them down a notch to be able to start to re-engage appropriately with each other and just be around each other and be calm. You know, when one's on edge and the other one's going to, you know, they pick up these things from each other.
Yeah, I know it's pretty subtle more than maybe we.
Body language, eye contact, facial cues, all those things are way dogs communicate with each other that a lot of people aren't even aware of. And like body language, eye contact, and facial cues can cause a fight in 2 seconds, and they're actually communicating. And those are things that, you know, I wouldn't expect that the average dog owner is even aware of. So I honestly think that your best bet would be an appointment to sit down with a qualified individual and talk about behavior modification and potential medication just to get over the hump and to sort of calm your household a little bit.
Yeah, you know, our younger dog, the 3-year-old that came from the reservation, you know, we've had her since she was like 6 or 8 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always been a really high
energy.
She's super sweet.
Yeah.
But she has a lot of fear,
yep.
and I don't know if that's just the genetic thing, you know, because she's practically like one generation from a feral dog, and she's never been able to socialize very well with other dogs besides my older dog.
And now they're...
I've done it a few times, and it's pretty traumatic in the beginning, and then she'll get used to them. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think that I didn't really realize how much socializing was
important.
So important.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, for sure.
So and it's been my learning experience, not having, you know, raised a dog from puppy ever
yeah.
before.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's probably a lot you can do, one, for your household, and two, even just for her, on a you know, a level of being outside your home interacting with others. Again, I mean, it's behavior is a lot of conversation before you come up with answers. And so it's there's a lot we could talk about today just with your dogs and asking a lot of questions
sure.
to come up with the cues and the things that are happening. So I mm-hmm. would recommend an appointment.
Okay. And you guys have someone that does that at your office because they've been patients there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's actually me.
It's Beth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, but if you call the hospital and set up an appointment, I would be the person you'll be meeting.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, right. Well, that was interesting. Back to chronic pain. I don't remember exactly where we were at, but I did want to talk about, you know, what can you do to treat chronic pain? I know there's a lot of different types of treatment for pain these days. Do you want to start by discussing some of that?
For sure. I mean, the biggest thing is you're going to have to discuss with your veterinarian what your best options are.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of times for things like arthritis,
mm-hmm.
We have to do x-rays to get that confirmed diagnosis. It can be our leading suspicion,
mm-hmm.
But x-rays are going to allow us to say, this is what we're dealing with in this joint to this degree.
Mm-hmm. And what if, so why is that so important to narrow down the joint specifically? Like, what if someone is like, well, we're just going to give them pain meds anyway. Why do we have to narrow down a joint?
That's one of our modalities of treatment is pain medication.
Mm-hmm.
Other things, we can do things like joint injections.
Okay.
Just like with people, they'll go in and they can get a cortisone injection.
Right.
We'll do steroids sometimes, but we have a lot of different options of what we can actually put in a joint to make it more comfortable.
Right. So that's the reason to figure out where the pain is specifically
exactly.
coming from.
Yep. And if I know exactly that it's one knee that's, you know, per se arthritic,
mm-hmm.
then that maybe predisposes the other knee.
Right.
If they're compensating more because one knee is painful,
mm-hmm.
Then we can know to watch out for something maybe in that other knee.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, I mean, as far as things, the first thing that I typically do is start off with supplements.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of good ones out there for arthritis.
Now, how well, I'm just going to be the devil's advocate here. And by the way, this is a call-in show. Please call with any vet-related questions at all. It doesn't have to be about pain. 963-2976. How well, because I hear people say, I take supplements and I don't think they do anything.
It's not necessarily there to make the pain go away. It's
mm-hmm.
there to kind of slow down progression.
Okay.
There's things like fish oil. That's a huge one for arthritis in general. Omega-3s help throughout the body to
mm-hmm.
decrease inflammation. And arthritis is an inflammatory process. So if we can use more of a natural way that the body's going to respond to,
mm-hmm.
To help decrease inflammation, fish oil is a great one to start with.
Are these things that would be helpful for a young dog who's not arthritic yet? Is there any benefit to that?
Sometimes. The biggest thing is you don't necessarily want to throw a bunch of joint supplements at a growing, developing dog.
Okay.
So typically, you know, 2 to 3 years, it's
mm-hmm.
okay, especially if you have a large breed dog who's prone to things like arthritis.
Right.
Your labs, your golden retrievers, Great Danes, Mastiffs,
mm-hmm.
Those ones, it's pretty safe to, you know, just start a glucosamine and chondroitin supplement or a fish oil supplement at
okay.
a younger age.
And that's a, and then so you say, you know, that's a good starting place when they come in. But, you know, then you have a dog who's pretty arthritic where that's not going to be enough because, like you said, it doesn't necessarily treat the pain. So what would be the some other options for people following?
Yeah.
Adding the joint supplements, of course.
One of the biggest things that we typically reach for first is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
So Most of the human ones out there, things like ibuprofen, Tylenol, Aleve, aspirin, those are all toxic to dogs and cats.
Never do that.
No.
Never.
Not at all.
Very, very bad. Because then you'll be seeing us for reasons
for other lots than worse
pain.
Reasons.
Not good.
So those ones, they're safe ones that we can use for dogs. Mm-hmm. The most common one, the most big, probably the biggest brand name one out there is called Rimadyl. Mm-hmm. There's a brand new one out there. It's called Galliprant. It doesn't necessarily knock out the entire inflammatory pathway because mm-hmm. there's some good things that we want there. Mm-hmm. So there's new medications out there. If your dog has had a problem with Rimadyl, that there's something else that we can try. Beyond the anti-inflammatory properties, there's other medications, things like gabapentin, that we can use for kind of more of a chronic wind-up type of pain.
Right.
So that's probably the two go-tos that we use the most.
Right. And I know there's a lot of research and studies constantly being done and pain control being forefront of what's being worked on in the animal world. And so, you know, drugs that we used in the past are no longer even found to be effective. And I know that they're constantly coming up with new things. And so I just want people to remember that when they go to the vet and something new is proposed, especially as far as pharmaceuticals is concerned, it's because we're learning more and more all the time.
Yeah, one of the biggest ones is with aspirin. Mm-hmm. There is a pretty recent study that was done that found that even one dose of aspirin leads to GI ulceration in almost 100% of dogs.
You know, everybody knows that aspirin was a go-to over-the-counter, or even not even over-the-counter, I mean, just recommended by veterinarians many years ago as a acceptable treatment for pain control.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But now that we know more and that we know, you know, our main goal is to do no harm.
Yeah.
So recommending a medication that I know is probably going to upset their stomach is not something that I want to do.
No. I think, you know, because we're going to run out of time, and I think a really big, big one right now, especially, is CBD. And I also want to talk about yes or no on the THC. I know we don't prescribe THC, but I know a lot of people that take tinctures and things they get for themselves and want to give them to their dog. So what is, I mean, obviously there's a lot more to talk about, but I want to make sure we cover this. And this is a call-in show, 963-2976, if you have any questions. But talk to me about CBD, THC, marijuana for your dog
for
your cat. For
or
that
your
matter.
Cat, for that matter.
My cat could use some marijuana, I think.
Maybe not marijuana.
Okay.
So the biggest thing right now is there's a lot that we don't know. We're really lucky, actually. CSU is one of the first places that's actually being able to do a real study. They are actually, I believe they're doing a study right now for CBD use for chronic pain.
Okay, cool.
In dogs. And I think they're also doing one for epilepsy for seizure control.
Nice.
Given that we don't know exactly, what we do know is that marijuana with the THC is toxic to dogs.
And cats, I would assume.
Yes.
Darn it.
They can definitely have far more problems with the THC. So if you're going to use CBD for your pets, we recommend it be from a hemp-based product.
Okay.
With very minimal to no THC.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. So with that, it's something that's typically given twice a day for kind of more of that control for chronic pain. I've used it in a bunch of patients. Mm-hmm. I've used it in my own dog. And I think it does help.
Now, does this have to be an animal specific THC or CBD, or can people go get this at the local store where they would buy their own products?
I would recommend an animal-based product, and not saying that it's a different product, but the dosages is going to be a little bit different for what you would give to a dog versus what you would give to a human, I would assume. The ones that I have used have been formulated specifically for dogs and cats.
Okay. And so we're recommending this type of product, or you're recommending this type of product, for chronic pain, for what else?
The whole endocannabinoid system in the body is there designed to kind of promote homeostasis. So basically keeping things at status quo, keeping everything in the body functioning properly. So it's hard to say all of the good things that it could be used for.
Right.
Pain is one. Seizure control is one that I've used it for. I don't know how much it helps.
Right.
I personally, like I said, have seen some benefit using it in my own dog with arthritis. Mm-hmm. I've had some control with seizures, but I don't know exactly that that's what it was, or was it other medications that we're giving.
Right.
Some people say it's great for skin allergies for dogs. I haven't ever used it for it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I know anxiety. Some people talk on anxiety.
Yep.
And because we're kind of on that natural topic, talk about other sort of natural ways to aid in chronic pain control that you're aware of.
So there's definitely some other ways out there. A big one that I recommend is acupuncture. Mm-hmm. Acupuncture and chiropractics can be an excellent form of chronic pain management for a lot of patients.
On the chiropractic topic, is there a certain person that should be doing that chiropractic work versus...
You definitely want a veterinarian who's trained in chiropractics. Okay. Just because they are more versed with the animal body.
Right.
Is what I would recommend.
Right.
And there we definitely have some across the valley who are wonderful. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for that, let us know and we can help you sort that out. There's also things like rehabilitation programs, water therapy.
Yeah, there's some great programs like that, those underwater treadmill things.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah.
The benefit to things like swimming or the underwater treadmill therapy for dogs especially is it allows them to maintain the mobility in their joints without having to bear a lot of weight, which is what makes the arthritis worse.
Right. And I think they do laser therapies and all sorts of other...
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Non-invasive therapies.
Laser therapy, ultrasound therapy, they're both there to kind of help with chronic inflammation, helping to break down some scar tissue throughout the body. Things like that can be helpful.
Why, I know this sounds like a stupid question, but why treat chronic pain? I mean, if dogs seem to they move around anyway, I mean, why?
It affects their quality. Yeah. It really does. It's miserable to be painful. Mm-hmm. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in pain, we don't want to necessarily partake. Sometimes we do because we have to. We have to wake up in the morning and go to work.
Right.
But it's no fun to do it when you're in pain.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing is just doing it in a safe way.
Right.
Especially right now with the human opiate epidemic, we have kind of limited options on what we can do. So knowing that there's many, many different options out there really helps.
Right. And I mean, we skipped over a bunch of, and we have a few minutes, we can go back, a bunch of other options for treatment of chronic pain, especially when you have taken those x-rays, you've narrowed down a location. What are some of the additional options that we passed over there?
Yeah, for sure. So one of them, going kind of back to the supplements, is Adequan injections.
Mm-hmm.
Adequan injections, I have seen tremendous benefit to with a lot of my patients with chronic arthritis.
And that's in both dogs and cats.
Yep. It's so nice for cats because there's not a lot that we can use for kitties with pain.
Yeah.
But Adequan is a great one for that. It's a supplement, like we said, that's given through an injection. The other things...
And not to be scared, by the way, of giving injections, because one, obviously your veterinarian can administer it, but some of these injections, if they are needing to be given frequently, can be taught to be administered, and really is quite simple, and
they're given under the skin, just like a vaccine.
Not to be intimidated by if that's something you're interested in doing, because it's really, really quite simple.
Definitely. But as far as other, more specific things go, as far as more like joint injections go, we do things like PRP, so platelet rich plasma.
Mm-hmm.
We also do stem cell therapy. We do something called IRAP.
What's that?
All of those are things where we actually harvest cells from that pet's body,
mm-hmm.
and we amplify the healing qualities within the blood, or within the stem cells or the platelet-rich plasma, and we actually inject that directly into that problem joint.
Mm-hmm.
The tricky thing with joints or tendons is there's really no blood supply there.
Right.
So it's close to impossible to really promote healing.
Right.
So all of these injections are there to actually help healing within the joint.
I think I need to do it to my knees. It
sounds pretty nice sometimes.
I know. Okay. Any sort of final thoughts or tips on pain control, chronic pain,
the biggest
acute
thing is,
pain even. I mean, if you, not
yeah, I mean,
confused.
Acute pain can be debilitating.
Yeah.
We see a lot of pets with neck and back pain.
Yeah.
And that comes in, you know, they're acting just weird and we can't really pinpoint what it is. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just shaking. Mm-hmm. They're trembling like they're terrified. And that's one of the big things that we see with back pain.
Mm-hmm. Panting, drooling.
Exactly. Maybe you think that they got into something.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's pain. So really the basic thing is if your pet's not acting like they should be.
Yeah.
Or like they normally do or like they were 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It could be pain.
Yeah.
And that's something that they don't always tell us overtly. It's not necessarily a yelp or a whine. Sometimes it's licking a joint.
Yep.
So there's lots of options out there. So if you have questions, don't hesitate to call your vet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the take-home message is that they mask things really, really well, cats especially. And slight behavior changes, slight changes in their normal, you know, everyday lifestyle, it really could be something quite painful, and not to just ignore that. So paying attention to the small changes and the small things that are going on, and definitely ask your veterinarian.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The other thing too would be just like mouth pain or oral pain. If they're pawing at their mouth or not eating or eating funny, definitely have their teeth looked at.
Yeah. All right. I think that wraps it up at Ask Your Vet. Thanks so much and see you next month.